What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Yeah, there's no freezing here because we're live in person. I can even reach out and touch him.
Coming in hot.
Good morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber with Jim Cramer. Carl has the morning off. Let's give you a look at futures as we get ready to begin the final trading day of the week. Of course, we are looking for a lower open, but, well, what does that really mean at this point? We'll get more from Jim on that. But we'll start with our roadmap, and that starts with the Netflix drag. Shares, they are getting hammered on slowing subscriber growth and pulling the overall NASDAQ deeper into correction territory. We want to talk about something getting pummeled. Peloton falling well below its IPO price. It's wiping $2.5 billion off its market value. The CEO now coming back against a CNBC report a bit that sparked that sell-off. We'll get into that. And Silicon Heartland, Intel investing $20 billion in new chip-making facilities in Ohio. Heard a lot about that, of course, on Squawk Box. Let's start off with Netflix. Shares are, as I said, down sharply this morning. This after the company reported better-than-expected earnings for the latest quarter. But the focus here is on disappointing subscriber growth forecasts. Netflix saying it'll add about 2.5 million subscribers this quarter. Analysts, well, they had been looking for as many as 7 million new subscribers. Here's what CEO Reed Hastings had to say about competition on the earnings call.
Well, there's a number of, you know, potential explanations in COVID, but then we worry about hanging too much on that. You know, there's more competition than there's ever been, but, you know, we've had Hulu and Amazon for 14 years, so it doesn't feel like any qualitative change there. And overall, confidence in streaming becomes all of entertainment. You know, linear dissipates over, you know, the next 10 to 20 years. Very high confidence in that thesis because everyone's coming into streaming. So like market size, very large. Our execution, you know, is steady and getting better. So for now, we're just like, you know, staying calm and, you know, trying to figure out, again, the COVID has introduced so much noise.
You buy that, Jim?
Well, I thought that...
By the COVID explanation, not the stock.
No, I mean, the other thing was that seemed a little lame was that, you know, they said Latin America's weaker. I mean, it's kind of like they were a company, a regular company now, they're cash flow positive, by the way, where they basically just said they had a conference call that was like a typical conference call of many companies that we've dealt with, where they seem mystified, don't know exactly what's going to make things better. They obviously had some incredible product. It didn't seem to matter. They had the amazing Squid Games, didn't seem to matter. They had these two movies, didn't seem to matter. Nothing seemed to matter in terms of igniting things. Now, of course, they could be completely wrong and start having an acceleration, but they don't predict it. The margins were very, very disappointing. Estimate margin is all on the estimation.
This is all right. So the last quarter reported was a strong
quarter.
Without a doubt, it's all about the guidance.
The risk you have here is that because the excuses seem to be so extraneous, that maybe things are going to be better. Now, I know that I'm not telling people to go buy Netflix, but I am saying that I don't think that basing everything on their estimation has been historically a great way to invest.
Mm-hmm. We've got any number of downgrades this morning.
Yeah,
in fact, I think we even brought back the old penguins that I used to use 25 years ago to show the analysts. Adding absolutely no value, of course.
Well, here's the Netflix.
After the fact, there they are.
Here I got the
running
Netflix.
Off the. We got Morgan Stanley. I don't know what you got. I got Stiefel. In the water. We used to have that great music that
you're
we used to
play. What are you doing? You picking on them? Benchmark
I'm not
had
picking
to sell
on you.
Hold.
I'm picking on the analysts.
No, Benchmark
here.
Had to sell a bold. I mean, Baird, Barclays, Morgan Stanley, Credit Suisse.
Okay, they're running off the ice.
But you know, I've got
jumping in the water.
I got those pre. If you want these, this is a very interesting Netflix previews about how everybody was pre bullish.
Yeah.
But look, a lot of people felt,
David. Listen, Morgan Stanley, Jim, here it is. I mean, engagement is growing. Churn is declining. And Netflix clearly has pricing power, as evidenced by that recent 10% U.S. price increase. However, bringing that incremental new member to the service is proving more challenging than we anticipated.
We're all used to the conference call, just basically saying, look, our real competition isn't the other guys.
It's just
time. Competition is time.
Yeah.
Well, now this one was, our real competition is the other guys. Well, we weren't ready for that narrative, and that's one of the reasons why the stock's down so much. The other reason being that it doesn't seem like that new content ignites people. They're certainly not endangered species.
No. Maybe we should have. Originally, 25 plus years ago, when I had this idea, and analysts were, ridiculous. It was lemmings, but we couldn't find lemmings, so we found the penguins. But it's not as good without the music. So
the music.
We revisited
it.
Now we can put it away.
The music was so great.
The music was great.
Yeah, loggerhead turtles really have a mass thing too. But I find David. Rather than just capitulate on the entire market.
Yes.
I want to just go back to say, what a terrible day to have a Peloton memo, the ultimate, of course, pandemic stock, coming at the same time as Netflix, the ultimate pandemic stock. I mean, obviously now we're waiting for Zoom and DocuSign. And
we are.
It's just a coda to the pandemic. When, by the way, I don't know if you caught Dr. Gottlieb.
Yeah.
Basically, listen, by this time, 50% of people have this thing in a couple of weeks.
Right. I mean, he's talking about the Midwest now, but obviously where we are, things have quieted. I want to move on to Peloton shortly, but not yet. I want to come back to Netflix because I want to keep an eye on shares of Disney, and I want to keep an eye on shares of Discovery, soon to be Warner Discovery, and obviously very much focused on their direct-to-consumer in both Discovery Plus and HBO Max. I want to focus on Viacom and Paramount Plus.
Well, let's
see
that
companies have centered their growth potential and their investment cases around their ability to continue to acquire substantial numbers of subscribers for their direct-to-consumer businesses, Jim.
True.
Does the Netflix quarter make one wonder about how large this market really can be, the competition within it, and whether or not this is going to be the best strategy over time for these companies to pursue?
Well, I mean, I do think that you now have this ABC, CBS, NBC. It's like now it's a zero sum or dog eat dog. But OK, so let's think of Netflix versus Disney. Disney has a couple of things going for it. They have theme parks. They have consumer products, which are often forgotten. The money had rotated, I think. When you think about it, the fast money rotated out of Disney into Netflix after that last Disney quarter. So now I think that money comes back. I think the overreaction is to say that they are the same kind of companies.
Disney has a lot of other things. But that said, that 230 million sub goal that they have for 24 or 25, which is out there, people have been questioning it. Whether this raises the idea that the market itself is not perhaps as large as people had anticipated. Netflix having a harder time getting to that one-third of the domestic lead that doesn't own it.
Netflix is convoluted. You look at the people who buy Netflix today have to be people who are saying that Reed Hastings is too negative and that there's more to it. Mm-hmm. I think, and they released those movies right at Christmas time. When I was looking at my friend, when you go over, I mean, again, you've got some people, like Nathanson. Okay, it's just a good piece. Yep. Just saying, listen, we've been saying this. And, you know, what are they saying? Which is that there will come a time when content won't drive subs. And when you have something that's just talked about as Squid Games and it didn't drive subs, I'm going to take my 4, 5, 6 shirt that I have and I'm going to burn it this weekend.
Why?
Well, because just this effigy kind of.
It doesn't.
Netflix.
Right.
But look, I like Reed very much. I think these guys are very smart guys. They'll figure out something. But
they did have great content. They had a movie that everybody watched, Blizzard. This Is Up, which actually I really enjoyed.
They should have
bought
Activision Blizzard. See, they need gaming. They should call Take-Two. They should call Strauss Zelnick. He will, of course, say no. And Strauss, of course, has to deal with the people who make Rockstar, who's the Grand Theft. But they need to buy gaming. And if they bought a big gaming company, you know what people would say?
Mm-hmm.
New stool, new legs.
So, well, also you'd be talking about the metaverse and Netflix
EA,
in the same way.
Unity.
By the way, there's no shortage of speculation around in EA and people wondering. Well, no, I know nothing other than it comes up a lot, as you might expect, given Microsoft Activision is only 4 days old at this point.
Right.
And there is a reordering going on to a certain extent.
Why do you think the breakup, because people actually thought that maybe, you can't fight Microsoft, we know.
I mean, the idea that somebody would jump Microsoft, even with that big spread. Any other company that would consider doing it has equal, if not more, antitrust concern, right? I mean, would Alphabet ever do it? Probably not. Facebook, probably. I mean, Amazon, no way.
I mean, but remember when I told that Great American Jeep,
not that Yucas, the first two really make sense, but Amazon.
Remember when
no.
I told this Great American Jeep,
Apple,
that you should spin off the the video game division? That would be a good acquisition for Reed.
There are still some smaller ones out there. Yeah. But you're right. So, all right.
They needed another leg. They needed something. David, you can't just come in with the same old after what happened. I mean, I don't expect them to go into crypto like GameStop.
Let's talk
Did you hear there was a guy on crypto at this point who was saying you got to take a long-term view? And I was thinking, you know, that's the kind of thing that they're doing right now at Jacksonville in Detroit when it comes to the Jags and the Lions. Got to take a long-term view.
Or the Jets.
You know? Listen, we're not Kansas City. Let's take a Jets
team.
Long-term view. See, now, if we heard that, the rigor of the NFL is so different.
Yeah.
If someone said, we got to take a long-term view, that means we're firing you.
It's true.
Right? Well, you're fired.
We haven't been to the Super Bowl since 1969.
You're fired.
It's a pretty long-term view right there.
It is.
It's a long time.
Most people weren't alive. Most people now were not alive.
No, they weren't. You and I
That says something.
All right, let's talk about Peloton a bit as well. Shares are rebounding ever so slightly in the pre-market. This after tumbling 24% yesterday. The company says it is reviewing its production levels and the size of its workforce. This is after CNBC reported that Peloton is temporarily halting production of some key products in light of weaker demand. Peloton CEO John Foley responded to the CNBC report saying, quote, "Rumors we are halting all production of bikes and treads are false." It's not clear, though, that that was what actually was reported.
Would he make one? You could make one, and made one bike, and he made one treadmill.
You know, what I come back to with Peloton, frankly, is that offering that they had back in November.
When they said they didn't have enough
cash.
The week before they said they had all the cash they needed.
November 16th, they offered 24 million shares at $46.
After the week before saying they didn't need cash.
Yeah. Right.
Like, look, we have the Viacom offering. Right. We have this offering.
We don't need cash. Now we're offering 24 million shares at 46. By the way, there were a number of growth funds that moved in there. I think TCV, Durable Capital.
Who didn't
help? And a lot of, for that offering,
they
a lot of hedge funds filed in saying, those guys must know something. They're good.
Right.
And they bought a stock that has almost been cut in half since that time of that offering. Shocking.
Well, I mean, all you got to do is talk to Planet Fitness. I mean, you know, there are people who understand things. Lifetime Fitness. People came back to the gym. People actually like being with other people. This is something that I've learned in my 57 years. People like people. They want to compete against them. Did I get away with it?
Yeah, almost. Yeah,
thank you.
I mean, viewers would believe it. You look great.
Thank you. But look, I think when you think of Peloton, you think of the pandemic.
Yes.
And then you have Dr. Gottlieb saying, look, by force of nature, everybody got it. You know, time to move on. Time to move on.
All right, so how big is the market for Peloton? I mean, the idea, of course, is to have the recurring revenue stream from the subscription service.
Yeah, that's good.
That goes with the bike and is so important.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like Reed Hastings. I mean, how many people want Netflix? I mean, look, Peloton, at a certain point, there's a pause as people realize that they're going to start going out again.
These are just two companies.
And the treadmill, Dave, I never bought the treadmill.
You never, right, the treadmill.
The treadmill.
There was an upgrade. Stiefel upgraded it to a buy, $40 price target. Look at that. See that?
What, the Peloton?
Yeah.
That's good. It's very bullish.
Isn't it?
See,
listen,
I think that we have to look
At least they're taking a stand.
But, I mean, I'm saying, okay, let's use a big company. Let's use Microsoft, okay, which is going to replace... I haven't been able to figure out how to get the N out of Fang and put the M in. I've been always worried about that. But, you know, Microsoft, they have a lot of cash, right?
Yes.
They are doing so many things right. I think the acquisition they made is good. So should I sell that off of Netflix? I wouldn't sell it off of Netflix.
All right, well, that does get us to the broader market here as well. The significant weakness in the NASDAQ.
Right.
The question is to how long this will go on. We're going to be talking about inflation for quite some time. It's not like we're going to stop debating how long and how far the Fed's going to go in terms of potentially raising rates. So how low can we go on some of these high multiple names in particular that we pointed out yesterday are leading the market lower, particularly those high multiple names in tech that don't have a lot of earnings
You know, when you see like someone this Jeremy Grantham I've known for a long time, nice guy. You talk about a decline 45%. Well, I mean, now you're
Grantham's been talking about a decline like that for a really long time. He's always worth listening.
Thank you for your support.
But he's talking about bubbles forever.
Yeah, well, I'm watching Yellow Jackets. That's worth watching. Okay, so I mean, here, get this. Right, this is from The Economist. I got it through John Ellison. Amazon, Google, Meta, Apple, and Microsoft spent $280 billion last year just on R&D, you know, spending it to make their company great. That's equal to 9% of American investment. I want to go with those companies. Those are the companies that people always say, well, wait a second, they're no good. David, there is a cohort of maybe 200 companies, and thank you to Jason Gerber for really pushing this for us at CNBC. There's about 200 companies that came public, and they're a lot. Many are pre-revenue.
Yes.
Many are companies that sell at 100 times sales, and they're done. They're done. They are. They're the dot-coms of 1999
and 2000. When do you sort through the wreckage of companies of failed IPOs and or SPACs that have announced deals that have dropped dramatically?
How about never?
It's never good for you?
It's like when you say, like, you call me and say, Jim, I'd like to have dinner with you.
No, that's the greatest cartoon of all time. Next Wednesday? No. How's never? Never good for you?
Yeah. Both of you, and I like that.
Never?
I've got really unbelievably good companies that are starting to really sell at multiples I've been waiting for. And is this the time to buy Taboolie? Are you telling me that it's Outbrain's time? You're saying time to buy 23andMe.
How about Up? You want to buy Up?
No, I want to buy down.
How about Hylion, H-Y-L-N?
Hytrotsky. How about Hylion, Hytrotsky?
No? How about Multiplan?
Is it time to buy Multiplan?
Yeah, $4. No?
How about Union Pacific, where Lance Fritz came on and said you had like an unbelievable quarter. Hey, people are negative on CSX. Give me a break. If they'd report in the morning, they wouldn't be. One of the things we've learned, I'm distilling all these corporate companies, is that your hair looks great, cut it out. What if I did like this? Well, I mean, like Vanity Fair,
Thackeray,
really good, not before the whole magazine.
And I'm going to get a cut today. Yeah.
Is that gray?
Yeah, I got some gray.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Just hair care for men, will you? All right, get this. It's the quarantine. That's what's causing these problems. It's like you get it, and then you're off for 10 days, and they can't find someone to fill the shift.
Right.
That's what's going on. Now, rails are so lean, but they can't find people to fill shifts, quarantine.
What's wrong? What's happening?
This is silver is cheaper than gold. This is silver.
Yeah, it's happening.
This is silver.
It's happening.
It's like the Crayola.
I tell you, man. I know.
More distinguished? I like real companies that make real things at a profit. I'm sorry. That's what I like. Real companies make real things that are profit. Those are intriguing. All that other stuff, well, they're just lemonade.
Later, Silicon. I got it. I know. Later, Silicon Heartland. Hear what Intel CEO has to say about that $20 billion investment.
Yeah, it's true.
Very important one. Yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Gina Raimondo yesterday.
Yeah, sure. It's like John Garfield.
Ohio.
Ohio. David, look on the tape. Joby Aviation. Now you're talking.
That's another one. Yeah.
Joby.
Joby here?
Just call me Joby. You can call me any. Just don't call me late to dinner.
There's Futures. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Well, coming up, does Carl Icahn think the market is inflated? Hear what he had to say. Plus, we'll get Jim's mad dash and count you down to the opening bell. Here's one more look at futures. We got that opening bell about 10 minutes from now. More Squawk on the Street coming right back.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Time for a mad dash as we count you down to the opening bell, PPG.
Yeah, I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about Netflix, and we spent a lot of time talking about obviously, the problems of Peloton, those are these pandemic, not pandemic. But the real economy is PPG. Now, this is a really good company, okay? And they make coatings, industrial coatings, architectural coatings. You buy a house, you have PPG paint. Now, the issue here is what I'm most worried about, which is the costs have outrun the ability to raise price. Sherwin-Williams had the same thing, too. Now, Michael McGarry, CEO, is on a call saying, listen, we're going to be able to put through the price increases, and I think they will. But America is sick of price increases because of supply chains. And I think a lot of investors are sick of it, too. So this is the, we got to fix Omicron, and we also have to add capacity. And at the same time, we need China to get stronger. They have a good market in China. And are autos going to be in glut because we have enough chips, or are there just not enough autos? Both ways, you know, you have CSX needing more autos, okay? You have Union Pacific needing more autos. But here people are saying, hey, listen, there's already going to be too many autos. Carvana downgraded today. So the gut issues in America are housing and autos. Hmm. And are they too high? And are there not enough of them? Now, you're Pat Gelsinger making chips. We don't know what chips he's going to make. We need full-featured chips. That's what these car companies need. Because they old-fashioned chips. But I worry that
you've run far afield from PPG.
About.
So come back stock.
This is an industrial that makes real things. It's a good company.
But
it's had missed quarter.
Do they have the pricing power that they need, or are they going to suffer compressed margins?
I think both Sherwin-Williams and PPG do have the pricing power they need, but they can't put it through fast enough. Okay. So therefore, they have to, that's what happened with Sherwin, lower the numbers. Now, what this makes is that for people who are not involved with companies that created in the last few months that we know are a bit of a joke, like Clear, where there were more people in the Clear line than there were in the I mean, honestly, I waited longer in a Clear line.
I've had good experience with Clear.
Now the Clear line's bigger because there's so many people in Clear.
I know so many people in Clear.
All right, well, I don't want to far from it. What I'm saying is the companies that have been created in the last, say, year are not what people are looking at. They're looking at this and they're saying, geez, I don't know. I have to worry about inflation and the Fed. So if no one's thinking about how the 10-year, by the way, is back to where it's all the way back down before the big chaos about the 10-year. But this is what I'm looking at. Real company making things, having trouble paying, things good through, but they'll get it through.
We got an opening bell a few minutes away. Remember, by the way, you can catch us anytime, anywhere. Listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street opening bell podcast.
Do you think that the stock market is inflated? Do you think that there are pockets of the stock market that are inflated?
Yeah, very much so. In other words, I do think that some of the multiples are crazy, that some of the investments are just out of this world. I mean, you know, as far as any manageable ratio.
That was Carl. By the way, he has said that before at various times.
For a long time.
He has concerned about it. But he's, listen. You always listen.
But, you know, look, so Goldman Sachs is at 5.75 times earnings. Inflated? I don't think so. Hey, let's talk about one that's been the butt of many jokes where the CEO got a nice $3 million bonus. J.P. Morgan, that's 10 times earnings.
Right.
Next year's earnings.
But the financials have typically traded at depressed multiples, speak, in part because of lack of net interest margin or whatever you want to call it.
But Bank of America's going to make $6.5 billion more if we do get the Fed for Fed rate hikes. And what's the additional risk? No different from what we remember in 1980, 1982. None.
Right.
So I just think, buy real companies that make things or have a real service that are not expensive, and you keep coming back to these stocks. They're pretty good.
Right.
But now we're getting a whole new group of stocks. Tech, David, can I just say, let's go to Alphabet for a second.
Okay.
It's Alphabet, which is a premier company, right? It's at 24 times earnings, but the estimates are going to turn out to be probably too low. So 24 times earnings for a premier company with a great balance sheet that has a hammer lock on everything.
That has top
only
line
Lena
growth.
Dunham. I mean, Lena Khan is the only one who can really get, maybe.
Had top line growth above that multiple,
right.
Well above. I'm talking
right.
Revenue
so,
growth,
so
well above.
Am I supposed to be against that?
Yeah.
I mean, let's go to let's go to Metaverse, okay? If you take a look at what Meta, you know, you're talking about, of course, we're talking about the old Facebook.
Yep.
Not an expensive stock. It's 22 times earnings. 22.
Right.
For a company that grows, unbelievable. It hasn't even monetized things yet that it could monetize. So, I mean, are these the ones? Maybe these aren't the ones that Carl Icahn's talking about. Maybe he's talking about some of the SPACs. That, by the way, I think Gary Gensler is going to make it so you've got to put real projections in. You can't just make up numbers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, we go back to high Leon Trotsky. You know, you're going to see the end of that. Now, let me give you one that's interesting.
By the way, let me quickly just tell people the opening bell here. You heard it.
Who
saw the real-time exchange. It was U.S. Global Investors.
Very good.
They were celebrating the recent listing of their Sea to Sky cargo ETF.
It's time for that.
Yes. Over at the NASDAQ, the Atlantic Coastal Acquisition Corp. Two.
Good.
Yeah, I bet we know what that was.
By an ocean.
We'll talk a bit more about
SPACs. Three-fifths of the world are covered by water.
Yes, they are. And the rest is covered by that center fielder for the Phillies from the, Gary, what was his name?
Maddox?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, so today, UBS, Moderna, they go from, they have a neutral, okay, but they talk about how this is a company. This company has like $13 billion in cash. It's now down to $65 billion. You know, maybe they do something with the cash. Or look at Pfizer when they have the pill. And I'm saying that the drug stocks are interesting. Now, there were two price target raises today for United Health, which, by the way, did not have a medical advantage problem. David, may you one day get to the point where people call you every 30 seconds to talk about their medical advantage issues, which is what happens. How did they get my number? It drives me crazy. But it's a 21 times earnings. That's a very good company. I'm trying to find things that are dispassionate.
Well,
that worked. I'm being dispassionate.
Let's come back to Netflix, though, because wait a second, because the base case outlook here and the numbers, you know, you start to get to multiples, Jim, that are
reasonable.
It's only 23 times 24 gap EPS.
Right.
Where
they're making real money.
Morgan Stanley's talking about this thing at current share prices.
Look, you felt like you should tremble. The old days in Netflix. It would be like, so which one, you know, they would talk to each other. Which one did you like? Well, I actually liked, you know, Hot Red or something, which I did not like. I'm tired of that guy now.
Okay.
I mean, him, the gin, and he's got the whole, like, I'm tired of his whole suite of products, frankly. Doesn't he just go to Target? Anyway, I look at some of these companies that have come down in price, and I say they're interesting. And I'm not talking about Rivian, okay? I'm not talking about a battery company. On my lightning round, everybody calls me. They want to talk about battery companies. I got one.
Tell me.
Eveready. I mean, you know, honest to God, I mean, you know, we've got to stop it. Let's stop it. Let's talk about real companies that are down a lot that are very interesting. But I do like the Netflix is right, because let's say that Reed actually has an uptick. Well, that's going to. He's wrenched out expectations.
You can make an argument that this is not one of the higher multiple names in the market.
No,
any
and
longer.
I think that
now,
makes,
of course, that is reflective, right, perhaps, of the fact that its growth is not going to be anywhere near what had been originally.
Right. I mean, like, we've kind of felt like, hey, listen, with the end of the pandemic, maybe people are going outside more. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of his comments.
But here's this. Here's a company, David. This is a company that might interest you. It's called Apple. Okay.
Apple. Oh, yes, I've heard of it.
Now, see, Apple's 164. They're going to be monetizing more and more. They're going to be monetizing more and more of their service revenue, and kind of interesting stock. It's not that good gross margins there. I mean, even Tony Saganetti, he's a market performer. But, you know, I just find that there's Apple's interesting. It's come down. They're going to have better expected numbers. And they have, I believe, if I finally prevail upon Tim Cook, that we'll get this number that I want so much. Like when I push to get their services revenue broken out, I want to know if you buy one of these, how much is it now they make from just every morning?
You want to know the actual number?
Well, because we go back over the Apple Card numbers on the Goldman call.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually getting very good. Now the Goldman does.
You've been talking about that card for a long time, and I mean, I have nothing going on there for a while. Right?
Okay, that's fair.
It is fair, isn't
that's
it?
Fair. That's fair criticism.
You were very enthusiastic about it 2 years ago.
Well, I was early. We have whole people, we have whole money managers who are allowed to say they're early.
You were early.
Okay.
You're absolutely right.
But it's good.
By the way, we've got a lot of money managers right now who are suffering a lot of pain.
Well, that's what I said last night when I had my checklist. I said, you brought up some ones that are very
painful.
Well,
you've got a lot of hedge funds still that I think are going to show numbers that are going to be atrocious for the month of January, given they still are in these growth names. Not to mention, and I've been talking about it a bit, but so many of these hedge funds have moved strongly into the private market, Jim. They own a lot of these companies that have $10 billion market.
They're not
$10 billion.
That
value.
The window's shut. The window's shut.
What about Marks?
Do you remember that? That's French.
Yes.
Well, that's closed.
Correct. Yeah. Right.
Right.
They've. You're not defenestrating anybody.
It was Uber or Furniture, and now it's WeClo. You got that?
They may want to defenestrate some of the management of these companies.
Look at that. The Dow's up.
But, Jim, let me finish the point about private, because I think it is something that I'm hearing more about as a concern, which is, namely, a lot of these hedge funds that own these privates in bulk, are they marking them appropriately? Because you have the public peers coming down, the question is, are you marking the privates? Because a lot of any gains that many of these hedge funds saw were not from their public equity investments, where they were terrible,
but they were from
their privates.
The round up. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I've been there. Remember, I brought the street.com public.
Yes.
Was at 64 the first day. And yes. Within a few months, it was at a dollar. But the venture capitalists were marketing way up there.
Right.
There. The venture capitalists.
That works for a while and it stops.
Well, it works until it stops. And yeah. That's where we are. But, you know, David, you know what's interesting to me?
Tell me.
Diamondback Energy.
Okay.
Okay, so here you have a couple days now where you finally get a breather in oil. But these companies are making fortunes.
Yeah. Right?
They're making fortunes. And unlike previous models, they actually have enough money to return a lot of capital. So if people want to know what they should be looking at, maybe they should be looking at Conoco. They made a nice acquisition, Conoco. They're doing quite well. Mm-hmm. Finally, it's down a little. It's down $5. I mean, the stock goes to 80. It's down enough. You got to buy Conoco. It sells at 14 times earnings. There.
Okay.
I'm looking for, David, no, but
can
give me
I,
an
can
opposite. Twilio, which I love. This is a company I've been out. I learned how to code through Twilio. They're amazing. It's fantastic. Use them at the restaurant business. But it sells at 440 times earnings.
Excuse me, how many times earnings?
440 times 20.
440 times
20. 20, yeah, yeah. See, that's, to me, that's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 440 years worth of earnings is a lot of years.
Prosecution risk.
How, can I interest you in any of these? Let's take a look.
Are you gonna, you going down the Jason Guertz SPAC index?
Well, yes.
Are you doing do that to
yes.
me?
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, the Journal decides to do a big story on SPACs and the ship be sinking now. But yes, which we know.
Welcome home, Carter.
Yeah.
All right.
That was a quote from Michael Ray Richardson
okay.
from years ago. But,
take two,
sir. I would say that we've been sitting here for a long time talking about the danger of SPACs. And I guess, you know, I don't want to pat myself too hard on the back here.
No,
but we
and
talked
I know
about
that Gary Gensler,
long
you
time,
think, was a little late on
we
this.
We talked about projections that seemed absurd. We talked about the fact
well,
that the sponsors make money well
right.
below 10.
Yeah.
But now we've got so many of these trading far below. I mean, take a look at some of the, you know, you want some Beachbody?
Yeah,
can
please.
I interest you in a little wheels up?
Wheels down.
Now, there's the CNBC SPAC.
You have to come
50.
Out
By
that.
The way, that's trading above. That's the ones that haven't announced the deals. So
right.
Still, we're talking, you know, a bit above 10.
It's Kenny Dichter.
How about
really nice.
Grab Holdings?
It's
can
really
I give
nice.
You a little of that? I think we have
I looked
all
at
these.
Grab. Yeah. Grab actually was like, I looked at it.
You did?
Yeah. That's all I can say.
They're giving me these instead of what I'm asking for. That's okay.
But, no, let's keep going here because we've got them.
There's
Beachbody.
Beachbody. Yeah, we had
David,
all these in a...
It may be time for Beachbody.
We try
how about if
we
really
expose
the
to do some
you
nice
know, Gary
things
was
for
talking
you.
About the dilution.
Yeah.
From now on, you have to talk about the dilution. David, do you remember the dilution on Opaque?
There's what I was looking
remember
for.
Remember when Opaque?
Can I introduce you
I'm sorry, Lucid?
Joby?
Do you remember the dilution on Lucid?
Yes.
It was Opaque.
Right.
Right?
I do remember that. But Lucid is the single greatest SPAC performer of all time.
Do you remember you brought out that it's going to be worth, sorry, right now worth like a couple billion? Then
yes. No, right. People thought it was going to be worth $7 billion when it was $60 right. billion
look
based,
at
on the number of, based on the number
look,
of shares.
One of the reasons why
but
Ford's come
you,
down is people mistakenly
Leon,
said they
Butterfly, Lordstown.
Go a little slow.
Bark.
Butterfly is a sonogram.
Remember
I had
Bark?
A fabulous doctor do some work on my shoulder yesterday.
Butterfly's Glenview.
Yeah. And I said, are you using the Butterfly?
Jonathan Rothberg, but these things are just trading terribly.
Well, what are they supposed to do? You think there's any analyst who even understands High Trotsky? I mean, High Leon? I mean, you know, Butterfly. I mean, by the way, Butterfly, hey, Butterfield, hey, it was a great short novel.
Yes.
I don't know if you read. That was actually an exchange, a telephone exchange.
Bark.
Lordstown Motors, you know, sing that song. But we didn't even mention Lordstown Motors. Probably going to be very near Pat Gelsinger's enterprise.
No.
At Bark. I don't know. Bite. I mean, these things were like, when they were like, this is like a commodity that is made up by, I don't know, who wrote, Marx Brothers. It's Marx Brothers, right?
At some point, there might be something worth actually buying.
Let's take up the
some
carpet.
These broken SPACs.
Should we take up the carpet?
Maybe.
Take up the taxes.
All right, let's come back to the broader market here.
Yeah, about time.
What you know, you've mentioned what you feel are, so, I think, some of the keys.
Well, I'm just saying, if you
I
can buy
looking,
something at 20 times earnings that's growing at, say, 20%, that has a really good balance sheet that actually makes things,
well,
I call me interested.
Yeah.
Call me interested. Call me Ishmael. That was a SPAC, right? Ishmael.
It may have been.
Hey, how about Starbucks?
I think Moby probably
do you think
was
Starbucks,
a SPAC.
Moby was. No, that was,
yeah.
That's the Joby, not Moby.
Well, Joby, Moby.
A guy like Melville.
Somebody
hey,
should
is Melville,
gone with that.
What's the symbol of Melville? Starbucks at 96, David. Okay,
yes.
With 2% yield. Now, that's obviously people very worried about staffing, right? Quarantine / staffing.
They obviously,
how do you
this
do same
week,
store
they eliminated
sales?
Their vaccine mandate
right.
at
how
Starbucks.
How do you do same store sales if three, you have three Starbucks in a given area and two close? how do you do same store sales? I'm sure they're struggling. And then, but you know,
look
they've
at the
wiped
decline
out
in that stock.
But the,
I mean, that's a, you know,
well, that's what I'm saying.
All right,
it's getting interesting. But can they make the numbers?
It's getting interesting.
It's getting,
okay.
Well, it's still 28 times earnings, and I don't know if they can make the numbers. But you know, China, they've done a real number on COVID. Well, we have totalitarian.
We continue
country.
To wonder about China, though, and their ability to actually grow the economy. They Luckin's did cut back. Rates the other day, in part because of that. They're still cracking. They're still having the property issues. But, they're still
the
cracking down to a certain
awful.
Extent on technology companies, and they're still locking down major cities, or at least what we would consider
yes.
to be major cities.
Yes.
For them, a city of 10 or 12 million is nothing.
Absolutely. But now let me give you a stock that I don't talk about enough. The stock sells at 7 times earnings. It's got a much better balance sheet. It's doing a lot of very high-tech stuff.
Yeah.
And the name is General Motors.
Okay.
Make stuff.
Yes.
Sell it.
Yes.
They get the chips, right? They'll sell more. They've got a hot.
You, during the Mad Dash, you brought up this idea on the autos, and I was trying to follow you, but having not the easiest time doing it. Which do you believe is going to be the case? Is there going to be a glut of automobiles or a shortage of automobiles?
There will be a shortage.
Or is it going to be just right?
Well, okay, the guys, we've seen a lot of downgrades of, say, the used car companies, Carvana, but that could be competition because Lithia, which is a fantastic company, is opening all over. CarMax getting in that game. But I'm focusing on companies like Ford and GM. Now, Ford's had a parabolic move, so it's going to give up something. But they were very chip short, but they are order long. And so when you have a company like Ford, it's no longer the way it used to be. They have an order book for the F-150. So you can actually figure out that they're going to make a lot of money. They've got out of a lot of different markets. But the big problem has been they don't have the chips. If they have the chips, they meet demand. The demand is not going to go down by 4 rate hikes.
Okay.
It's just not. I
mean, are they going to have the chips? Which, by the way, gets us back to the story, one of the big stories of the morning, which is Pat Gelsinger and the Ohio plant.
They have
$20
billion
dollars, not happening tomorrow, obviously, that they're building that
and
plant.
Why did he pick Ohio? It's very interesting. Did Ohio give them something good?
I'm not sure.
Focus on that.
Oh,
Dow's
sure.
now down.
Not
damn.
Sure specifically.
All right, so,
you know,
so you take a look.
Locate in Ohio.
I just am urging you to look at, there's a lot of companies that have come down a great deal. Now, we happen to know ServiceNow. Now, they're going to be on soon
yes,
for
do.
Us, right?
Yes.
Now, ServiceNow was at 700. Now it's at 500. Now it still sells at 800 at 80 times earnings. You're never going to get this at 20 times earnings. Do you buy Salesforce here? I mean, by ServiceNow,
what about two of your all-time favorites and two of your all-time best calls, NVIDIA and AMD. NVIDIA is now below $600 billion in market value. I can remember a day when it was above, I think it was $800 billion. And AMD is also down 16% for the year.
So,
NVIDIA is down 19%.
So AMD, we sold some at 160. It was very painful. And we started buying some back. We haven't bought back. You know, we're starting to buy it back. I think it's interesting.
How about NVIDIA? You haven't sold any there.
No, I haven't sold NVIDIA because NVIDIA, I hate to use the term long term, but I think NVIDIA's got a lot going. Remember, NVIDIA's your gaming chip. NVIDIA's your metaverse chip. Mm-hmm. NVIDIA's your... The only problem I have with NVIDIA is that they are the highest level of autonomous, and I just don't think that you're necessarily going to get there that fast because if there's one accident, you know what happens. But I like these semiconductors that have come down a great deal, and I like companies that had been very expensive, and they're not. And I don't like all the stuff that came. David, I searched for one company that has come public in the last year that I would want to buy. One.
No.
I couldn't find one. One.
Let's quickly divert to Pat Gelsinger because he was a guest on Squawk Box this morning,
right.
Of course, with this plan to spend as much as $20 billion building factories in Ohio to produce chips. Take a listen.
We did a nationwide search for our next mega fab location. And, you know, we looked at, 30 to 40 sites around the nation and on many factors, you know, big, you know, this is going to be grow to, we hope, 8 fabs over time. So a large location, energy, water, talent, you know, we have the all of the Midwest schools. And this is manufacturing. You know, we wanted a place that had a, you know, history, a passion for manufacturing at scale.
There it is. That's why it's Ohio. You asked the question.
But there's no infrastructure there. You need infrastructure to be in that business. And remember also, he said there were 3,000 jobs. Well, when I went to the Israeli fab on Saturday, Sabbath there in Israel, there was no one there. So Ireland was very upset how few people worked at the Irish fab after they got it built. A lot of people take to build. I mean, I think that Pat's playing for positive press. He's been pretty good at that. but he does have plenty of capital. He might be able to do it. But I do believe that this foundry business without something directly from Congress is just not going to be what's called for. I want NVIDIA's high-performance computing chips, and I want AMD's. And I do worry, for instance, that we're too concentrated with Taiwan Semi, given the fact of the geopolitical issues. But I just think that Intel makes a lot of money, but it's not cutting edge.
All right, let's end on the Nasdaq here. We've got the comp down now over 10% for the year. Always take a look at ARKK because it is reflective to a certain extent of what's gone on in this market underlying sort of so many of the more, let's call it speculative names in technology. That ARK is down now, 21%+ for the year.
Jeez.
Jim, are you going to know a bottom when you see it?
Yeah, sure. It walks like a duck. And, you know, that doesn't feel like a bottom to me. No. Now, remember, she'll say, well, listen, it's not like people are pulling money out. It's just that those are not the, you know, she bought a huge amount of DraftKings, which I happen to like the company. The product's terrific. But, you know, they bought a lot of DraftKings at a much higher level. And that's part of the problem is where she bought things. You know, how many stocks did she buy that are down 50% from where she bought them? Wow, she bought a ton in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
That's really incredible, the decline in that stuff. Yeah, that's
all those companies are spending a lot of money, by the way, marketing in the New York.
Oh, the cost of acquisition is horrendous.
There's a look at ARK.
But I look at companies, again, the oils are bad. And today oil's down. But the Permian is going to be, you're going to see some amazing numbers in the Permian. The pipeline companies are all very interesting to me now. They yield 5 to 8%. Very good for a long-term investor. And I think that you have to find an oil company that buy it.
All right. Let's take a quick break here, by the way. As a reminder, you can get in on the new CNBC Investing Club with Jim. Sign up, find out more. CNBC.com/investing club, or just point your phone at his head or at the QR code on your screen. It will take you right there. Give you a quick bond report here as well. Jim mentioned yields earlier. Let's take a look at how treasuries are faring. You can see we're back to 176 on that 10.
Well, isn't that why we sold everything? Was because it was a 2?
Yeah, well, there's still expectations perhaps we could be hitting 2 at some point. We'll be right back. Well, Netflix now hitting, actually, that's a new recent low. I'm going to check with our crack statisticians, find out what that takes us back to in terms of the last time Netflix has suffered almost a 23% intraday loss. Baird, by the way, downgrading the stock amongst other firms this morning from outperform to what is now a neutral, calling the quarter a red notice for a long-term growth slowdown. The analyst behind that call will join us later on.
Tough. The street. That was a tough downgrade.
We're back on after this. Welcome back. Let's get to Stop Trading with Jim.
The great writers always thrive on irony. Tolstoy was very big into irony. Well, Robin Hood is big into irony, but they don't know it. Today, they roll out their crypto wallet to 1,000 beta customers. That's something, David, that is what we need. A crypto wallet that obviously has a hole in it because, you know, crypto, this is not the level where you want to start buying crypto yet. And I just think it's ironic that now they have it. And Robin Hood is... Well, let's just say that.
Well, yeah, look at Bitcoin down 10% today.
Robin Hood and tights.
What's behind this move down today, Jim?
What, in Robin Hood?
In crypto.
In crypto? Well, I think that the 36-page Russia white paper about how they should outlaw it. I still come back to that interview I have with Gary Gensler, which says, listen, we got to find out, do they Dogecoin? How many Dogecoins are there? Do they add Dogecoins every day in order to be able to facilitate? Dogecoin, by the way, remains or was, I don't have the current quarter, Robin Hood's most active thing. And so this is what we want to get people back, not to Doge, not to AMC,
right?
Okay, not to, let's say, I don't know, you want to call it GameStop, but let's get back to real companies that make real things, that have real balance sheets and have profits and even dividends. Procter & Gamble, United Health.
You don't want to own Robin Hood, I guess, here, even at $13.38.
Not when I can own Goldman Sachs at 6x earnings.
Right.
I'm sorry. I just thrive on companies that make things, good services, profit, reasonable price. And, David, there are more of these than there have been any time in 2 years.
What do you got on Matt tonight?
I got so lucky. I have H-Band, Huntington Bank shares. That is in the heart of Intel land, which is Ohio, the Buckeye State.
Yes.
Isn't that something? They should have put it in West Virginia, and maybe Manchin would have voted.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyway, yeah, I got, they're exactly, they'll be the bank that benefits the most if Pat Gelsinger pulls it off. So I think it's a fantastic outfit. I happen to love the regional banks. They are so good. I had First Horizon last night, quietly making a lot of money, buying back things. Do well when the Fed raises rates. And no one cares. First Horizon. Do you think anyone wants First Horizon? They want Joby.
No, nobody wants Joby.
No?
No.
It's too early for Joby.
Too early. Wasn't too early for Zenga, though.
Zenga.
Day arrives.
Zenga.
Have a great weekend.
You know what? I want you to have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right?
Try.
Yeah, I'm going to get a haircut.
I am too.
Oh, good. That's me, two of us.
You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.